Good morning and Merry Christmas. Yes, it's a wonderful day. Wonderful time to get together and to rejoice with each other and to have a smile. Can everybody smile? Smile, smile, smile. Can we all say a really loud Merry Christmas? One, two, three. Merry Christmas! Yay, good. We got it now. Okay. Well, this morning I want to just share a few thoughts with you about Christmas. You look at the traditional Christmas scene. We have a nativity scene up here, and you've probably seen them around, maybe even in people's homes. One of my good friends from... I had lots of good friends in New York City, but there were two guys, you know, two men, young men, that I was really close to. One of them came to visit me when I came to Australia, and the other one I just heard a couple of weeks ago had passed away. And there was one thing on Facebook that this one of the man that had come to visit me had traveled many, many places during the 30-some years since I'd seen him, and had gone to Peru, and he had a photo there of a little Peruvian nativity scene, and it was quite nice, you know. So everywhere you go in the world, there would be these nativity scenes, but they wouldn't look like ours. They wouldn't look like one that came from Europe England probably. So we've sung these songs, and we've read the scripture, and we know the story that the shepherds, the wise men, the manger, Mary and Joseph, we know all these things, the star. We see the Christmas cards, and sometimes it looks so peaceful and serene. But there's also a hint of poverty and struggle when we see that Jesus was born in a manger. Now, I could go into a little few thoughts about this, but according to Jewish context, it wasn't that he was born in a cave somewhere. It wasn't that he was out in the back blocks in a stable. He was actually in a home, but it was in the place where they brought animals in. So if we look at this nativity scene and just look at that, we don't really get the context of Jesus' birth. In the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the promises that God makes to us, and we've talked about the perfect timing of the Lord. And so here we come to Christmas, and perhaps we should ask the question that a song, a carol, asks, but we don't usually sing this one, and it's, "What child is this?" And just a few words from that song. "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, to bring him praise, the babe, the son of Mary." And then it goes on to say, why is he born in such poverty? And then it says, he will have nails pierce his hands. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. And in the very last, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? He's the King. Some of us who have had babies, children, when you first hold your baby, I was talking, you know, Mavis and Steve, and then Alan and Alicia, and then looking at the little baby. Okay, if you're holding your little baby, your little son, you do not know what's in store for him. You do not know what he's going to grow up to be. You do not know the struggles that he's going to have. You do not know the issues he's going to face. If God were to whisper in your ear that he was going to be a great missionary to Iraq, and he would give his life there, what would you do? Would you prevent him? Would you try to focus him on economic, financial planner, you know? Would you say you need a PhD in climate change? Yes. We do not know as we hold our child. I'll risk this for this moment since my daughter's here. But when I held her, I mean, the furthest thing away from my mind would she would be an international soccer player, you know? And if God had whispered in my ear, I probably would have fallen over, you know, like, and she might have bumped her head. I don't know. But here is this little baby, and we talk about a little baby being born. But do we really know? And we look at peace, and it's just gentle, and it's so wonderful, and we're all ooey-gooey with peaceful feelings and all that. But God, looking on this little baby, knew what he was going to go through, knew the steps he was going to take, knew the rejection he would face, knew the cross, but knew he was king. He was king. So this is what, you know, normally at Christmas we talk about this wonderful thing of a baby being born. But in many cases over the history of the church, this Christmas day has not only been celebrating that, but remembering that Jesus came to die. This baby came to die for us. So, let me read Isaiah 9, and I want to read from 1 to 7. But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. May God bless his word to us. What's going on here? This is one of the most read passages regarding the coming of Jesus. For unto us a child is born. But did you take note of the scripture, the verses before that? It talked about blood and warriors and boots and trampling down and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me tell you a little bit of what's happened. In this period of time, remember the fullness of time, in this period of time in Israel, when Isaiah was speaking, Israel was under attack. There was oppression going on. It was a time of despair. They were facing a foreign invasion. The whole of the people was shrouded in fearful gloom and darkness. Isaiah 8:22, the few verses before what I just read. Isaiah says, the people are in darkness. There is gloom in the world. Perhaps that mood is exactly like today. Trucks crashing into marketplaces in Europe. People being killed. Gunmen coming into homes and shops and all sorts of places. Churches and killing people. politicians getting on to each other and arguing and all sorts of things. Bombs going off in the Middle East, in shopping malls. We hear of warriors' boots, don't we? And we hear of garments covered in blood, don't we? I know that even in the news this week, that I don't know how little or big, a terrorist plot or whatever was foiled in Melbourne. So something could have happened, but they had an intel, and they were able to raid some place and found guns and all sorts of stuff in there. We read of yokes around their shoulders, bars across their backs, oppressed on every side. See, even if we're not living in a country that is war-torn or that we're afraid to go out, we have our own burdens and oppressions in our lives. Some of them might be small, some of them might be large. Ill health, broken relationships, barriers in relationships, fear for the future, and many, many things. And just as thousands of years ago, the world today is in chaos, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. So what is God's answer? What's God's answer? To send a more frightful king with more bombs? To have someone rule over the world and put everybody under their thumb? So nobody fights, they're all too afraid of the big guy, whoever is the one. But what he says here is, the people who walked in darkness, that's you and me, we walk in the darkness of this land, have seen a great light. And all of this prophecy is said in the past tense. It's not see, it doesn't say we'll see a great light. Have seen great light. You know what I've said many times, that God stands outside of our space and time. And his prophecy says, it's done. It's done. The light has come. That's what John says in John's gospel. The light has come. The light has come in your life. Remember, we talked about that every one of us, if we are born again, have called upon the name of Jesus, have had Christmas in our lives. Christmas in our heart, whenever it was. It might have been April the 10th. It was Christmas in life when you said, Jesus, I will follow you. So, it has already happened. The yokes and the bars have been shattered. Something has happened. The promise has been kept. And what has brought this about? What miracle has come into the world to put the world to rights? What has happened to bring rejoicing like at harvest time? The sharing of the spoils of war? What is this light that has shone all around? A child. Unto us is born a child. And the government will be on his shoulders. Already, as a baby, as a young child, his inner family, and others were saying, this is the king. What an unbelievable thing. This angelic little baby on the front of a Christmas card with a little halo around his head is going to have the government of the universe on his shoulders. Wow. The answer to all the problems of the world on both a global, universal scale and an individual scale is a child. A baby. What child is this? That comes into our lives, that lives among us, that lives our lives so he knows us. And then he goes to the cross to take our sin, is risen again on the third day to say, this, I am going into paradise so that you will follow. And then he says, not only that, I'm coming again and all the government will be fair, just all the world will be put to rights. Will he take up a sword to conquer his enemies? Will he blow up the bad people like we see in Terminator 10, if there is going to be such a thing? But who is this child? Well, it tells us. He's a wonderful counselor. More than we can ever find anywhere else. I mean, I've been a counselor, and probably in a way still am. But I don't have all the answers. I can only help people to sort of pull apart the veil to see what's down deep in there. But a counselor never heals anything, never solves anything for you and me. It's only you and me in relationship to God our Father. There's solutions and there's healing and there's guidance and there's wisdom. Wonderful, the word wonderful here means supernatural, more than any human wisdom. Not one of us has the wisdom of God. We have some godly wisdom, but God has it all. And we only have a little bit. And we do not know, as I've said before, we don't know all that God is doing in a person's life, but He does. And then it says He's mighty God. He's a warrior. But his type of warrior is he will save us and shield us and protect us and guide us. His power and his might will bring to pass all his promises and will transform our lives. So this is what he is. Counselor, wonderful counselor, mighty God. And then it says, everlasting Father. One who cares beyond anybody else. Some of us have had wonderful fathers who've cared for us. Some have had difficult situations. But God, this little baby, this little son, says he's an everlasting Father. He will care for us. He knows our deepest needs, down deep, sometimes where I don't even know. And you don't even know. And he will act toward us as a father. And then it says, Prince of Peace. What does that mean? Mainly peace for the world. Now that hasn't happened yet. But it will. And he brings peace in our own hearts. And the peace that he brings, the scripture says, it's past all understanding. We don't even know. Peace to us means that we're in control of everything. You know, let's keep it under the lid, you know, undercover. Don't let anything jump up, you know. I don't want anything surprising me, you know. And when all the circumstances are exactly the way we want them, it's all cool, calm, and collected, you know. I go to work, I go to the shops, I do this, and we rejoice when everything is really going right, you know. Everything is exactly the way I want it. You know, you and I are guilty of that, aren't we? In fact, sometimes that's our motivation for life. Is that we want to go through and make sure that everything is always okay. No interruptions. No disappointments. No misunderstandings. Why didn't they know what I thought, you know? None of this. And because that's our expectation, then every day we have disappointments. Every day our expectations are dashed. And what happens? Let me ask you, what happens when that happens? Well, sometimes it can be like this. Why? Why? And we say that because our expectations were that that should not happen. We have this wrong thing about how our life is supposed to be perfect in every situation. And so we fall apart. Or can we say, God, you're in control. You know every part of my life. I woke up today saying, God, welcome. Walk with me today. Show me how to face today. And so when things come, yes, they may be difficult, they may be disappointing, they may hurt, it may cause a struggle, but we can face it with God because He's the one who knows all about it. The child is born. And it says He knows all the temptations, all the things. He walked this path. Don't you think He had expectations and it was failed every day? Don't you think He had love toward His 12 disciples and they betrayed Him? Don't you think that He loved people and they turned against Him? Don't you think that He wanted a good meal and maybe He only had a loaf of bread? Don't you think He wanted people to love Him and love God and know that He'd come to save them, and they rejected Him and wanted to throw Him over a cliff? Don't you think He went through that? And He is our Savior, this child who is born, and who walks with us in this, can face every disappointment. And when we've gone through it, remember what Jesus said to Peter? Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you so that when you go through it, you can turn and strengthen your brothers. When you go through struggles, you are then qualified to turn to someone else and say, I know what you're going through. I'll walk with you. I'll be with you. Just like Jesus is. The Son, the child that was born. If He had not come as a child and grown up as you and me, we could not trust in this. We could not walk with Him. And God in the triune God in eternity, already made the decision that this was what was going to happen. So, as we come to the close, it says, was this accomplished? And I love the last verse. The zeal of the Lord Almighty did this. He loves us. The zeal of God, zeal. He comes into the midst of the darkness of the world. He comes not only with us, but for us. He's wise and all-knowing. He's the mighty God, the warrior, peace, all this in a little baby. So where are you today? Have you seen the light shining in the darkness? Or are you overcome by darkness and you want to run? Perhaps you face decisions in the future and you hop from one thing to another. Your mind is going like this, you know. Oh, what about here? What about here? What about here? You know, and you run off in this direction and run off in that direction. And God's saying, calm down. Wait on Me. I will provide. I will provide. One last thing. I heard a story about a young woman, or a young man actually, Christian young man, who wanted a partner and went on, eHarmony, matchmaker.com, this ring a bell to you, all that sort of stuff, you know, tons of them. And nothing ever came about. Nothing ever happened. And one day, he went to a little gathering, a sports gathering, and he met this young woman. And afterwards, he said, oh, you want to get a coffee? And so 5 hours later, they were still having coffee. And then at 10 o'clock that night, he came and picked her up for another date. And it was on. God just went, boonk. They're both Christians. He quit his looking. He quit his searching. and said, God, I just trust in you. Out of the blue, that came. That's what happened to me, as you know. So what I'm saying here is that God knows everything. He came as a baby. He grew up. He knows our needs. He knows our anxieties. He knows our desires. He knows these things. And He loves us. And He cares for us. And He knows the right timing. He knows the promises He's going to keep. Let's trust in Him. As we look back over 2016, the times when you did not trust Him, when you went on your own way, what about this next year? Can we trust Him more deeply? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day that we celebrate, not all the gifts that we give or receive, but Lord, we celebrate that You came into this world and You didn't stay a baby, but You grew. You grew up like we grow up. You experienced life like we experience life. But all the time, You are the King. You are the Lord of Lords. So, Father, we thank You. And we ask You to continue to be born again in our hearts, to continue to grow in our hearts, that we may be more like You and have a deeper, deeper trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen.